Hi, I am a clinical social worker, and I have worked at Winona State University for 20 years working with students. Before that, I was a family therapist in rural Wisconsin. So I guess you could say I'm a professional listener. When people list their skills, listening doesn't sound very impressive. I live with some very talented people, and I have crazy talented friends. Ben makes beautiful guitars. Isaac has a strong strategic intellect. Steve teaches math, and I listen. I've often felt in the shadows if anybody ever asks that awkward question, and I'm never sure what to say. And the truth is, I'm not always very good at the thing I'm supposed to be good at. My family might have a different story to tell. Steve has known me to be very irritated at times when he tries to talk, especially if I'm reading. Oh, are we talking now? Might be my snarky introvert reply. And my friends know that I'm often distracted or shift the conversation to my own fears and stories when they're telling theirs. Also, it goes on, I have very few people in my life who have significantly different political or social views. I am so far from perfect. Yet, when all that is said and done, on good days, I do feel like I've learned a few things about listening over the years. So when Lynn invited me to talk today, I decided to welcome it as an opportunity to kind of form some of my talks or my thoughts around this topic. I may do it professionally, but we all do it for each other. Listening is a gift, and to be heard is powerful. I recently discovered a nonprofit organization that was created in 2018 to address burnout in the medical profession. It's called the Good Listening Project. It sets up spaces in hospitals and at medical conferences where medical professionals can sign up for a 10 to 30 minute slot to be listened to by a volunteer. The listeners do not interrupt, they do not offer advice, they simply listen. They're trained to listen with their bodies, minds, and spirits. After the session, they write a poem for their person. And the belief around this organization is that when we are listened to well, burnout can be lessened. And also, good listening is an important quality in a healthcare provider. Their website claims, the quality of your listening determines the quality of their speaking. I had the opportunity to be listened to by one of their volunteers last fall, though I'm not a medical professional. She was in training, and I was one of her POMIs. That I talked for half an hour, and that lovely human being didn't say a word. She just listened. That held space was really powerful. And allowing that space to allow me to talk, some things that I didn't realize were able to come out. I was able to process things in a new way. I read that the average American has a 22-second attention span. Now, I suspect this crowd is a little bit better than that, but we Americans overall do tend to be quite distracted and we're in a hurry, which doesn't lend itself well to being a good listener. Being a good listener, in my opinion, begins before the conversation. We prepare to speak, but we seldom prepare to listen. It's about setting an intention for our interaction, adopting a stance of generosity and a goal of connection and understanding. Before I start a counseling session, I try to remember to set such an intention. I am here to listen. I will be present. If I get in that headspace, it almost always goes better. I think this can be extended to people who have different political views or who we don't share the same views. There have been times when I know I'm about to see someone and I have focused on our differences. How can they vote for Trump twice? How am I going to talk to them? How can they just be so different from me? Suffice it to say, I've approached them with suspicion, underlying anger, or avoided them altogether. And then there's been times where I've been with these same people and I set an intention ahead of time. I will focus on our connections. I am here to honor our history, and we've had beautiful conversations. Our differences do not define our relationships. Our connections do. A second component for preparing to listen, in my opinion, is about settling our bodies. The longer I live, the more aware I am of that body-mind connection. If I can calm my central nervous system, and I've been doing that a lot this morning, through some deep breaths, relaxing my muscles, checking my posture, then I'm sending a message to my brain that all is well, I am safe. My amygdala, or the emotional center of my brain, can relax, and I can focus on you, not myself. I want to listen with my prefrontal cortex, not the fight, flight, freeze, or defend part of my brain. When we think about being a good listener, the phrase being fully and actively present often comes up. Google it, that's what you'll see. What does that mean? On a practical level, of course, it's about putting devices away, distractions, and even books in my case, and devoting this time to this conversation. For most people, it's about eye contact and creating that feeling that I have time for you. I remember a doctor I saw once who sat with his back to me and typed my answers into his computer. He may have been very skilled, but I didn't go back to him. I didn't feel heard. Being fully and actively present is also about setting aside my own judgment and my rush to fix. My goal is to understand, not to fix, not to share my opinion, not to tell you what I would do in your situation. I want to direct my attention to that understanding and not, oh my gosh, what am I going to say next? How many times have we sat in judgment against another person, and then after hearing the full story, we shift our perspective? Everyone has a story and motivations that might not be immediately apparent until we hear the whole story. Mark Nepo tells us to lean into what we don't understand. What is the humanity behind your words? What is your emotion telling me? In counseling, we're taught to follow the emotion. Help me understand your tears. This looks hard for you. I wonder. I noticed. Tell me more. What was that like? Help me understand. What surprised you? How did you think about it at the time? And how do you think about it now? When we listen well, questions often arise, and we show our interest by asking them. True listening stretches us and leaves us with something new. And skilled listening allows another's vulnerabilities to be safe with us. Kate Bowler says, "Something happens when I am known." What we're talking about here is curiosity. Mary Oliver writes, "To pay attention, this is our endless and proper work." She was talking about flora and fauna, I'm sure, but I think she also extended this to people. When we pay attention to what's in front of us, my own thoughts and judgments fade. Now, judgments are natural, and I tell the students I work with that automatic thoughts are called automatic thoughts for a reason. They pop up without intention, without reflection. It's what we do with those automatic thoughts where we have some power. I call it the pause. So when a judgment pops up, or I start thinking about myself, what am I going to say? How can I take over this conversation? I can pause. And in that pause is my chance to shift back to them. I have a sign in my office that says, pausing is a superpower. When someone is sharing something important with us, we want to shut up, get out of the way, and remind ourselves, this is not about me. In Bread for the Journey, Henry Nouwen writes, "To listen is very hard because it asks so much inner stability that we no longer need to prove ourselves by speeches, arguments, statements, or declarations. True listeners no longer have an inner need to make their presence known. They are free to receive, welcome, and accept. When we train ourselves to listen with our full being, it's like the difference of looking out the window and saying, oh, it looks like winter, or looking out the window and saying, I see the snow on the branches, I see a bird at the feeder, I see the deer tracks up the bluff, I feel the wind seeping through the window, I hear the howl outside. I want to listen to your words, your body language, your energy. Are there indicators of emotion? What is the message behind their word, your words? Back to that desire to fix for just a moment. I think most of us have it. It's a really good thing. We're helpful people. We want to be helpful. And so it comes from a good place. But we also know what it feels like when we want someone to understand we're lonely or scared or sad. Someone to say, wow, that's really hard. But they jump over that and start giving advice. First we understand, then we move to help. And if I get the order wrong in counseling, it doesn't go well, and I often won't see someone again if they don't feel heard. Another barrier to listening well, I think, is trying to put a quick positive spin on things, or worse yet, platitudes. As a grief counselor, I get to hear all sorts of things that grievers are told. She's in a better place. He wouldn't want you to be sad. Look at all you have to be grateful for. Those offerings skip right over the emotion and seek to console. And I'm not sure if they're seeking to console the griever or the person who's speaking. Sometimes a listening presence means not saying a thing. Stillness provides a space for the other person to be honest and to not be pressured to shift their mood to make us feel more comfortable. There's an acronym WAIT, and it stands for Why Am I Talking? And counselors are encouraged to think about that before we go into long. So I'd like to read something from the Old Testament, Job 2. Verses 11 and 13. When Job's three friends heard about all his troubles that had come upon him, they set out from their homes and met together to go and sympathize with him and comfort him. They sat on the ground with him for 7 days and 7 nights. No one said a word to him because they saw how great his suffering was. In my dad's later years, he developed macular degeneration, and he was really disappointed, frustrated with the things he could no longer do. He couldn't drive, he couldn't read, and he really wanted me to understand that. And he would tell me these, you know, he would like, this is so hard, I can't drive, And I was really trying hard to, like, yeah, but Mom can still drive you places, and you know most of the words to the hymns in church, and there are books on tape now. And he would just try harder to tell me how hard this was for him. Finally, I slowed down. I took some of my own advice and said, wow, Dad, that sounds really sad. I bet that's very, very hard for you. And you know what he said? He said, yeah, but your mom can still drive me places. And I can still sing the hymns at church because I know them. He found me. He needed me to understand. Joan Halifax teaches a model of compassion for healthcare workers that I think is the perfect model for listening. It's called grace. G is to gather your attention, calm ourselves physically, through our breath and our muscles. R is to recall my intention. I am here to listen. You matter to me. A is to attune myself to the person in front of me. What is going on for you? How do you see the situation? see is to consider what will serve right now. To ask myself, what is needed in this moment? It's knowing what they're asking for. Is it to be understood, or is it for some specific act, something I can do? And then the E, which I think is often forgotten in this process, is the ending. To release it, to once again calm myself. This interaction is done. For professionals, this means telling myself that my time with you is over. I have done what I can at this time. I wish you well. I will not carry this home with me. And now I'm going to shift my attention to what's next, or the next person in front of me. For friends and family, it's much the same. It means this interaction is over. I wish you well, and I will not hover with unproductive worry or rumination. I care about you, and I will not carry this front and center 24/7. Brené Brown asserts that our deepest human need is to be seen by another. Listening leads to connections. Connections heal. Relationships heal. If you ever listen to On Being by Krista Tippett, you know that she starts her show with asking a person about their religious background. So I will end this with sharing a little bit about mine. When I was a child, my favorite Bible verse was God is love. I liked the simplicity of it, and it was easy to memorize. And then in college, I remember I saw a poster that said God is a verb. And as I moved away from more organized religion and the dogma that that can bring, I took with me that this concept, that God is love, and love is a verb, and I can show my love to other people by listening and attending. We will not have deep, meaningful conversations with everyone we meet. That's not desired. That's not practical or even desired by an introvert like me. But we can honor that space between us as spiritual, look the person in the eye, strive to listen well, and when we affirm the holiness in each other, the world takes on a different quality. I want to end by reading a blessing by Kate Bowler. And she wrote this blessing for the listeners of the world. And she calls it for a blessing for everyday empathy. Blessed are you, the sensitive one, attuned to the feelings of others, for empathy is yours to give. Blessed are you with the emotional bandwidth to hear hard things without fixing or minimizing or deflecting, for true presence is yours to bring. Blessed are you, the faithful witness to suffering, who chooses to show up without judgment, with little gifts or small acts of practical help, for compassion is yours to embody. Blessed are you, who sees the reality that you cannot soak up and carry away all the troubles all around, lest you be overwhelmed, for empathy is a precious gift that must be balanced and protected. Blessed are you who stand ready to pivot according to the Spirit's direction to find solace and comfort, that you may be shielded, renewed, and restored, to receive in order that you may give again. Thank you for inviting me. I have talked long enough about listening, and now I would like to listen to you. If anyone has any comments, questions, the question that came to my mind, and I know we don't have a lot of time, but I mean, that's one way to do it. I think what I really took from that was the not interrupting and not responding.
Yes.
I say a lot, I think, with my face, with my students. Yeah. But, you know, I am nodding, sometimes I'm tearing up. I mean,
I have found that.
I think we can be very active listening.
Okay, cool.
without saying a whole lot.